You asked for it, and I'm going to deliver it. Welcome back to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. Today, we're going to go deep into my childhood, my family upbringing, and talk about the things that led me to becoming the CEO Lawyer with my special co-host today, the one and only Reem Awad, my young sister. Reem, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the youngest in the family, all right? And I'm basically Ollie, maybe 8 years ago, okay? I'm, you know, funny, pretty cool, you know? Cooler, I would say, you know, just with a hijab on. But, you know, pretty much jokes are, oh, come on, don't, you know, you could just tell them.
Yeah,
you know?
She's great. Yeah, fantastic.
Just let them know. I mean, honestly, like, I'm always joking around. I would say.
Actually, the funny thing is, I used to have really long hair, really big curly hair. And one time I straightened it out and shaved completely. And I actually looked a lot like her. It was kind of scary.
It was pretty scary. Actually, y'all know that Snapchat filter where it has, you know, the face app where it will make you a guy look like a girl or a girl look like a guy? Yeah, that's.
So we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. But all right, I know people got some questions. They want to know how we grew up. Reem was like the next generation of the Awads. So there's six of us in total. Ibrahim, Omar, and then me, and then Sam, and then my two sisters, Malika and Reem. Reem was born in like 5 years after the last child, possibly an accident, we weren't sure. Little story though.
They kept me because I was pretty, okay? That's the only reason. You know?
Barely. So they when she came home, we didn't know what her name was going to be. So my mom came home from the hospital, and we had balloons with the name Randa on it, or Rhonda in English. And obviously she doesn't know this because she was an infant. But when they finally came home, they were like, oh, no, we named her Reem. So we literally just like popped all the balloons that say Randa and only kept the ones that said Reem because we weren't sure which ones are going to be. So she could have been Rhonda, but now she's Reem. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I think about it and I feel like if I was Rhonda, it would have been a little easier just for Americans to say my name because they still butcher Reem. Like, how do you butcher that? I don't know.
Someone's pronounced me Ali before.
I don't understand why. I mean, Ali is more common than Reem, but I don't know. I feel like maybe I would have been a whole different person. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably cooler.
You think so?
Yeah. All right. What are the questions? What are the questions that the people want answers for?
So there's a question that a lot of people ask me. If Ollie wasn't a lawyer, what do I think he would be doing in life? To be honest, I think he would have been a surgeon. So especially as a Muslim male, you only have three options: engineer, lawyer, and doctor. Okay. I definitely think he would have been a surgeon or a doctor, especially because Ali was always one of those people that was just naturally smart. I don't know why, just that never brushed off on the rest of us. But, you know, don't be too cocky, okay?
No, just... I'm not. No, it's good to hear it. Yeah.
No, I don't know why. He just had those natural smarts. So I was just like, yeah, he's definitely going to be a doctor. It's just, you know, made for him. But I guess as he got older, you know, the world starts changing, and he was like, he fell into law, but he's always been a businessman. So it's something that, you know, just he's fell into, but I feel like he would have been a lawyer or a doctor. So that's something.
Here's the story. So my dad would always call me doctor as like forever since I can remember. It'll be like, oh, inti doctor, like you're going to be a doctor. Like I'm 5 years old. And he's like, yeah, you're a doctor. And so it kind of just stuck with me, like, all right, fine, I guess I'm just going to go to medical school and become a doctor. So graduated high school, started college, and decided, all right, I'm going to start pre-med. I guess I'll just go ahead and be a doctor. This is how much I underestimated it. I was like, fine, I'll just go to school. Like, why can't I just be a doctor now? Why do I have to go through all of the schooling? So I started off as pre-med, Dalton State, in 2008. And I looked at the course catalog and the curriculum of all the biology classes. And at that moment, I decided I'm not going to be a doctor because I hated biology classes. So I switched my major from pre-med to international business, and then from international business to English. And then the story is I was one credit short of graduating with my associate's degree from Dalton State. And that was because I changed my major so many times throughout those 2 years. They said the course catalog has changed. So now you're not allowed to graduate because you don't have all of the courses satisfied for the updated curriculum. So I said, okay, so we're in the 2010 curriculum, right? Yes, or 2009, 2010. So show me that course catalog and let me pick a major that coincides with all the classes that I've already taken. So I went through all of the majors and I looked at all the classes that I'd already taken and found the one for general studies. And apparently if I had just changed my major to general studies, I would meet all the course requirements and I would graduate on time. So I changed my major right then and there and said, look, I don't want to be an English major anymore. I want to be a general studies major. Based on what you just told me, I meet the course curriculum. So I'll see you at the graduation. And I always felt like Dalton State and all these other small colleges, they wanted to keep you there for as long as possible because that's how they made money. So any opportunity that they got to keep you there, they would do it. But you know, I kind of cheated the system and realized, okay, maybe I can be a lawyer. And while I was at Dalton State, there was a professor named Tony Simons. And his name was spelled weird. It was S-I-M-O-N-E-S, like Simonis, but he goes by Simons. And Professor Simons was he taught the judicial classes, social studies, and things like that. And he was a very eloquent and powerful speaker. Anytime he would speak and talk about the law, I'm pretty sure he was a lawyer, or at least had a law degree. I was always infatuated by the way he carried himself and his grasp of the English language. So I knew I wanted to sound like him. And that was definitely one of my motivating factors. Is in undergrad, I had a professor named Anthony Simons, who eventually became over all the judges in like Missouri or Minnesota somewhere. And he was a huge motivator for me to go to law school just because of the way that he sounded when he spoke. It was such poise and eloquence and clear intelligence that I wanted to emulate that. And so I decided to switch my career path towards law and pursued an English undergrad with a minor in Spanish and Chinese, and then went on to law school. So that's why I'm not a doctor.
It worked out perfectly because, you know, I feel like if you became a doctor, you wouldn't have as much time for your social media team. You know what I mean? Like, I remember in high school, I was in my senior year of high school, and we actually made a competition of who could get more followers on Instagram. That's when it was like booming and everyone, you know, that's when you saw businesses really promoting themselves out there through social media. And I actually was beating him in the beginning, but he got lucky. I got hacked. But okay, it was such a sad moment for me. I went to Egypt and I got hacked through like my Wi-Fi, and it was sad. But I feel like if you were to become a doctor or a surgeon, I feel like you wouldn't have had time to build such a strong social media team. So, you know, subhanAllah, everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean?
You know, I didn't want to become a doctor or a lawyer or a business person. I actually wanted to be an actor. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I wanted to do comedy, and I wanted to do stand-up comedy and acting, go to Hollywood. That's what I wanted to do. But I graduated high school in 2008, and my dad took me to the Atlanta Art Institute, Art Institute of Atlanta, and said, all right, if you want to go pursue a career in acting, here's what you need to do. You need to do 4 years of undergrad in this art school, learn the game, learn the fundamentals, and then you can build from there. And when I went to the art school, I just felt like I didn't belong. Like the people there did not look like me. They were just extra artsy, and they had a different way of carrying themselves and a more fluid lifestyle than I wanted or I could have. So after my dad actually took me, and he actually let me go and see and pursue my passion, and I came to the decision, the realization on my own, that I don't want to do acting. Talk about full circle. In 2008, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, these things weren't really common. I don't think Instagram was even around. I don't think Snapchat was around. Facebook was around, but no one was doing videos on their phone. So had I graduated 10 years later, like in 2018 instead of 2008, I would probably be a full-time social media influencer, and that's it. I probably wouldn't even have pursued law, because like, let's be real, like 7 years to get a law degree just to be able to compete with all these old whiteheads that have been here forever and get so much criticism and backlash and have all this, like all these rules and regulations, it's not fun. Now that I've been through it, it's kind of cool, but I probably would have been an actor had I been born 10 years later, and I'd probably be a surgeon if I was born 10 years earlier.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I mean, I was actually thinking of law school, but when I started getting a lot of social media followers, like on TikTok, and started getting noticed by these companies on Instagram and everything, I was just like, do I really want to spend these next few years becoming a lawyer? It really made me think, and I was just like, okay. And Ollie, obviously, he supported me either way, because I was like, you know, there's Ibrahim, our oldest brother Ibrahim, he's an attorney, Ollie's an attorney. I was like, I'm just going to be another attorney in the family. I was like, why don't I choose something that I know I'm really good at, and, you know, the family's going to talk to me more about it. So I think that's why, for me, I just made sure to stick with social media. I got my degree in marketing, and I'm just learning every day on how to become better at TikTok, learn more about it, you know, trying to see what kind of ads we can do on that social media platform. So that's just something that I guess it is because, you know, I was born later. It's just my passion. You know what I mean? But
I think you'd be good at whatever you put your mind to. I just think you, and along with a bunch of other younger people, have instant gratification syndrome, and you want something right away. When you put out a video and you don't get 1,000 views right away, something is wrong. And that's how social media has destroyed a lot of the youth, is because they feel like, well, this other person is getting millions of followers and millions of likes. Why am I not getting that? And you start associating your value with the numbers that social media shows you. And the problem with that is that you don't know what the other person is going through or what they did to get there. So you're judging yourself based on someone else that you know nothing about, when you should only be judging yourself off of who you were yesterday. And I think that social media is a fantastic tool, and you could definitely build a career around it and make a lot of money and have a lot of fun with it. But you have to pick one niche and focus on one thing. And I did a podcast on this. You have to find one thing that you're willing to do for the next 20 to 30 years. So if you decided that digital marketing is what you wanted to do, I don't think digital marketing is going anywhere for the next 20 to 30 years. It's only going to get bigger. But it'll go, right now, TikTok is the big thing. A few years ago, Instagram was the big thing. A few years before that, Facebook was the big thing. Twitter's still kind of been around the whole time. You have to become an expert in all of the social media and all of the different platforms, and learn how to run ads and what type of content works better. And you can essentially build an agency around it, you know, around the content creation or even the running the ads. And as platforms evolve and grow, you need to grow with them and find other opportunities. That's what I think a lot of youth are missing right now, is they try something for just a few months and then they say, all right, it's not working for me, that's it. And, you know, I try to make working at my firm a career opportunity where you can grow, and there's never gonna be a ceiling. Like, there's always new levels, because even my position is available. The CEO of my law firm, this position is available if the right person were able to take it. I don't see even limitations for myself. I don't think CEO lawyer is my limitation. I think it's just what I'm doing right now, but I want to be a lawyer for the next 20, 30 years. But how I'm going to practice law and how I'm going to work with my law degree is going to change. So you have to pick something that you know you want to do for the next 20 to 30 years. And if our media team is doing videography right now, and they're really good at the videography, video editing, managing teams, managing VAs, but they realize, hey, the direction is going towards drones. The direction is going towards building things in the metaverse with our videography and video editing skills. Well, I would encourage them to take that information and apply it to this new system, because it only adds value to their families, to our company, to everyone, you know? So the focus should be one thing. And as long as you're willing to spend 20 to 30 years on that one thing, then you've already won the game. You can't keep looking for the next best thing, because everything always looks better when you don't know all of the bad things that come with it. If someone is making millions of dollars on social media, you don't know if they have a bad relationship with their spouse. You don't know if they hate their parents. You don't know if they just went through divorce or battling child custody. There was an influencer recently that killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Then there's so many that are committing suicide. Okay, let me ask you this. Is there any job in the world that you wouldn't do if I were to pay you $10 million? If I said, hey, I need you to do this job for me, it's $10 million. Nothing illegal and nothing haram.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, obviously I'm going to do it.
Okay, $10 million. But what if I told you, you can take the $10 million, but you're not going to wake up tomorrow?
There's no point.
Okay, so you just told me that your life is worth more than $10 million. And just the simple fact of waking up in the morning is worth more than $10 million.
Well, damn. Look, it's you.
So why don't you act like that every single day?
Right.
You know? And that's kind of the point is like, we look at money and we look at fame and we look at glory, we look at social media titles, all this stuff. Like, this is what I want to be and this is what I aspire to become. But you really should just be focusing on being happy. That's it. Because, I mean, I'm happy. I love what I do every single day. There's things about my job that aren't that fun, but the ability to build things with my hand and watch a company grow and build other people up around me, man, that's awesome. And I love it. But I also have to have limitations. I want to make sure I spend time with my family, you know, my kid, all that stuff. So focus on what's going to make you happy first. And if social media makes you happy and that's what you want to do, then go all in. I thought acting would make me happy. I learned it didn't. And now I'm doing it again because I just found a different way to get to it. Mm-hmm. So you might find that the law or business or marketing, what you'll find a passion of getting to it some other way. But you just have to be willing to commit time and not focus on anything else.
What's your favorite part about what you do now? Like throughout your, you know, every day when you wake up, what do you look forward to that you do every single day that's, you know, that helps your business grow?
Now is not the best time to ask me about that because I've been stressed out a lot lately because I feel like I've been putting a lot of pressure on my company and my people to grow. But the business is fun because I make it fun. And I think it's really just being able to compete with the big dogs. Like, that's what gets me excited. It's like, I'm 31, I've just been have my law firm for 5 years, and I'm competing against people that have been doing it for 20, 30 years, and I'm beating them. Like, I love to compete. That's what I love to do. I love to wake up in the morning and compete. And that's competing with myself or competing with being the best dad that I can be or the best husband that I can be. I love raising the bar and raising the standard every single day. That's what I love to do. And just so happens to be in law and in personal injury. But what really gets me happy is just playing with my son. Just sitting at home and just like laying on the floor and having him crawl all over me. That's what's like the most fun right now.
Are you going to put Adam in karate like you did?
For sure. Okay. Yeah. Dr. Adam is going to be in karate for
sure. See, it starts out at such a young age, the doctor. It's just a really normal thing God will do, you know?
Look, he can be whatever he wants to be as long as it's a surgeon.
Yeah. See, I'm not picky. I just, you know, he can choose whichever
medical school he wants to go to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I don't know. I think something that really helped us become the people who we are now is karate.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for, you know, I'm the only one that's not married, but I can't wait for all my nieces and nephews to go in. Imagine the team they're going to have, you know?
Yeah, they're going to be competitive for sure. Yeah. But I bet in like 20 years' time, people are going to be so soft. Like, they're not going to want their kids to get punched in the face or kicked in the mouth. Like, that's how we grew up, man. Like,
honestly.
I mean, I rarely got kicked in the face. I was the one doing the knocking out. But one time when I did get kicked in the face, it stuck with me. And I'm like, is that how it feels? That sucks. I never want to feel like that ever again. But no, I want my kid and my kids to grow up fighting for sure. For sure. What are the questions you have written down? I know you had some written down.
Let's see. Funny childhood memory. Tell me, what are some funny childhood memories that we have? And if you were a troublemaker or not? Honestly, wasn't really a troublemaker. Like, he wouldn't try to make trouble, but if somebody did say something stupid, he'd make it known. Like, he could make you feel so stupid with just a few simple words, and you'd be like, damn, did that really just happen to me? A lot. But as far as being a troublemaker, it wasn't...
I wasn't a troublemaker. I just didn't let people mess with me.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter their size. Actually, here's a funny story. Like, middle school, I'm like 70, 80 pounds, right? I'm a tiny middle school kid. And I was kind of a bully, but not bully in the sense of like, I'm going to steal your lunch and all this stuff. I was very, very small. So the bigger kids obviously could easily, you know, throw me around, take advantage of me. But I stood up for myself and I was like a very, very mean bark and a mean bite if I was pushed to that level. And I remember one of the teachers in my middle school saying, hey, man, why are you like picking on this kid and why are you yelling at them? This was like in seventh grade. He's like, he's clearly twice your size and, you know, he could hurt you. I remember telling him, well, if I scare him into thinking that I'm the one that can beat him up, he'll never touch me. I'm like, at seventh grade, that's how I was thinking. And eventually I started like going to the gym and exercising and getting a little bit bigger. But one thing I've always had my entire life was unshakable confidence. And I think that intimidates a lot of people. Because when you see someone that's very, very confident, even if you don't think they can deliver on what they're saying, you're still a little worried. But then when they can back it up with actions and a clear track record, that person becomes dangerous. And then at some point, that confidence starts bothering people and you kind of have to like tone it down a little bit, which I think I've done over the years, but maybe I need to bring it back.
No, you don't, because you've become a lot more sensitive to people's feelings, you know, especially after you got married. So thank God for Saddam, but and having a child, because yeah, I was just thinking about that. Actually, funny story. So before Ollie got married, I remember my sister and I, Malika, we would always be like, geez, the girl that Ollie marries, she's going to have some thick skin. Because Ollie would not, he did not care. He did not care what he would say. He was just ruthless, okay? But, you know.
I've always had a way with words.
Sure, you could say that.
In terms of like, I will make you hate yourself and make you question your entire existence from the words that I say.
Yeah, that's an understatement. But like... No, I remember when he first met Salam and when he got married to her. I remember after he met her, one time Malika and I, we were, I don't know what we were doing. We were in the kitchen, probably eating because, you know, food. But he said, Habibti. He said, hey, Habibti. That means like, hey, honey, or hey, you know, sweetie in Arabic. And we're just like,
my love.
Yeah, like, did he just say that? Like, is this real?
Wait, hold on a second. That's not fair. Because if you were to list who was the sweetest brother that you and your sister had throughout your entire childhood, you know that's me, for sure. I'm always the one that's getting y'all gifts on your birthdays, on Eid celebrations. I'm always taking care of the women in my family, my sisters, my mom. And then when I got married, it just escalated a little bit more. Yeah, I was mean. That's okay. That's just how I show my love.
How many times did you call me fat for, like,
But look at you now.
I wasn't even fat, man.
But look at you now. You're like a model, right? So, like, it's constructive criticism.
Yeah, sure. You could say that. Yeah, I've burned some.
We all had our code name, you know.
Yeah,
I was the lazy one.
Yes. Yeah,
would you believe that that was my label as a kid? Like, I was the lazy one.
And I was the fat kid.
Oh, you were a little chubby.
I wasn't, though. I was...
It's just because you're short. You looked extra
short.
Chubby. Yeah, but, like, I'm sexy, though. So but,
okay. It's an old on, bro.
I'm above average. I think average height is 5'7". I'm 5'8". So I'm above average. What's the average height for a woman? 5'2"?
I'm 5'2". I'm 5'2".
Okay.
It's the Shari Hijabi, okay? I'm a normal
size. Did y'all notice how many times she plugged in the social media and her name throughout this podcast? Like, she wants everyone to, like, follow her. Like, she's taking full advantage of it. And I'm like, I'm counting it in the back of my mind. Like,
I think that was twice.
Three times.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, would you look at that?
But no, I know I became softer and nicer when I got married, but I've always been nice to the women in my life. Always. I always take care of them. Even though I was rough around the edges, that's just growing up with four boys in the household. Like, we were ruthless to each other. And so that obviously extended to other people. But yeah, that's one of my childhood stories. I have tons of them. But no, I did not let anyone mess with me. It didn't matter their size. And when I started getting bigger and stronger and I guess more mentally tough, I didn't have to show off as much or be as cocky, because it's like, you know what the deal is.
Do you miss high school? Do you miss, like, because I believe senior year, that's when you started getting a little bigger and stuff. But, you know, do you miss that part of your life? Do you, you know, how some people miss that part of their life?
I think the people that miss high school peaked in high school. Mm-hmm. So if you're, like, always talking about your high school days and you're like, oh, man, remember we were on the soccer team and we go, you know, to the, you know, after the game and we'd always go to the Steak and Shake. And, man, you remember the good old days? Man, that was so... Like, if you're still living in high school and you're, like, 30 plus, that's a problem. You know, like, you've peaked in high school. It's time to move on. And there are definitely people that still wear their Letterman jackets from high school. And they still wear their, like, high school rings, you know, the Jostens rings. I don't miss high school at all. I mean, I prefer to not remember it because there was so much racism and people really, really didn't like me. And I know I was rough around the edges, but it wasn't all because I was mean. It was also because people were racist and people didn't like us. Just as Arabs in Dalton, people didn't like us. And
at least you didn't wear the hijab.
I'm sure that was even worse. Yeah. Like, for you and Meneke, that had to be worse, wearing the hijab.
For Meneke, it was even worse. I mean, I do remember distinctly wearing my hijab in sixth grade, and I remember in fifth grade going to sixth grade. In fifth grade, I didn't wear my hijab, so I started wearing it sixth grade. But when I did wear it, I remember people from elementary school, they thought I was a white girl. So when I started wearing my hijab, they were just like, "Oh, you're a terrorist." Like, they just said that straight to my face, and I was just like, I could have sworn I wasn't, but I mean, if you say so.
Yeah, man, people are mean. There were mean girls and mean, like, the good old, the boys club in high school and the girls club in high school. Like, I hated that. I mean, I hated it.
Yeah, I think I ate lunch every day in the bathroom, or I just skipped lunch. And
you weren't eating it in the bathroom. No, Meneke was eating it in the bathroom. Meneke was eating
lunch in the bathroom, but I skipped lunch altogether. I wouldn't take my food to the bathroom. I just sat, like, for 50 minutes in the bathroom, just waiting for the bell to ring. And because I had nowhere to sit. I remember the first day, I remember this girl. I told her, "Hey, can I sit beside you?" And she said, "Sorry, the seat is taken." And I was like, "Oh, okay." It was literally a whole table that was empty. I was like, "This whole table is taken." She was like, "Yeah, sorry." I was like, wow. Like, and you just never forget these things.
You know? I would never let that happen to me, and I never did. If anyone was like, "Hey, this seat's taken," I'm like, "I'm going to sit here, and if you have a problem with it, you can take me out." And that's what I would do. And it would be the most awkward lunches, honestly. Because I'd sit there, and no one else wanted to talk because they didn't like me. But, like, I didn't care. I had really thick skin. And so when people said mean things to me, I never let it get to me. But I think when you're wearing a hijab, it's harder because... Like, it's like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just sticking out.
I mean, who's the better cook? But, like...
Who's the better cook?
Yeah.
Of us two?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't cook.
Yes, I can.
You don't even know how to boil an egg.
I choose not to. I just don't like it, but...
You don't know how to cook?
I do know how to cook.
Like, you make chicken and broccoli, and it looks like death.
Okay, that's when I'm on a cut. Okay? You have to...
Okay, so, like, I can make a mean steak...
Okay, anyone can make a good steak.
No, I make a fantastic steak. I make these awesome egg burritos, these breakfast burritos in the mornings.
Okay, eggs.
And I can make, like, good rice. It's never bad rice. I know rice is not the hardest thing in the world, but I make some good rice. Also like chicken and potatoes and basic meals, but I also really like my famous turkey, egg, and cheese sandwich. Those are like good.
Can't you hear these are all basic? Like, do you what know how to make any Arab dishes?
No,
like
that's why I have a wife.
See, that's not fair. But hey, I mean,
you have to learn that.
I know how to do it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Have you ever had my food? No.
No, because it doesn't exist. I can't eat nothing.
It's good stuff, okay? I made it for Mama and blah, blah, and they were very proud.
Okay. She probably like chopped up one cucumber and was like, hey, here's a salad. But ladies and gentlemen, that is, I think we got through a couple of questions.
Oh, wait, last one. Who's the favorite kid? Oh, definitely me. Definitely me.
Be honest. Say wallah. Say wallah al-azim, you think you're the favorite kid.
Okay, wallah al-azim. Right now.
No, be honest.
No, yeah, definitely now, especially because I'm the only one in the family that's
She didn't even say it. So when you say wallah al-azim, that means like, by God, I swear, in Arabic. So we have this thing where it's like, say wallah, you know, say wallah, say wallahi, like, I swear. So say wallah al-azim that you think you're the favorite kid.
Wallah al-azim. Mom and Baba love me, but like...
See? Okay. Mama. Say who you really think is the favorite kid.
Right now? Okay, wallah me. Wallah me. Yeah.
No, wallahi dude. Me. No. I'll tell you.
No, wallah me. Maybe not with Mama, it's Omar sometimes, but you know.
Omar is the favorite. My older brother Omar is the favorite for sure. Because he like lived with my parents the longest. No, he's older than you, obviously. Like by 10 years.
But like I'm in their face more.
Yeah, they don't like that.
You think I like that?
Yeah, but like no, I think Omar is the favorite, and you know then like I'm Maliki is up there too, you know. Ibrahim was the favorite for the longest time. Like he was always like the first child is always the favorite for the longest time. I had my period, I think, between like 23 and 27 when I was like still at home and like still going to school. So they really liked me during that time. My brother Osama was also like the favorite because he was the youngest boy. So he got away with the most. He could just kind of do whatever he wanted. I think everyone has phases of being the favorite. But you think you're the favorite right now?
In this phase, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. In this phase, yes.
I think they're just trying to be nice to you because they want you to get married.
Well, yeah, I want to get married, but like it's...
You heard it here, folks. The CEO Lawyer Podcast is looking for suitors. If you are interested in marrying my sister, you need to DM me.
Oh, my God.
At marriage request.
Oh, my God.
Okay? She's got all of the qualifications. Now, the cooking, I can't vouch for, but I'll tell you this. My wife also said she didn't know how to cook when we got married. And man, like I've gained like 30 pounds since we got married. So it's worth it. I average about 10 pounds every single year just in home cooked meals. So I'm sure she can get there. She will fight you and she has four brothers that'll kick your if you try to mess around with her. So we're going to look after her. I'm allowed to mess with her. You're not. So yeah, if you're interested, I didn't know the CEO Lawyer Podcast would turn into Muslim Mingles, but... That's our show for today, folks. Thank you all so much for joining. If you like this show, let me know, and I'll make sure to bring some other siblings and, you know, maybe even my dad or my wife, if you guys want to hear from her on the show. She's going to be very nice to me on the show. So, you know, we have to make sure we have questions prepared, like hard questions that put me on the spot, because she will never make me look bad. She never will. Even though I've messed up and done it before, she never will. That's why I love my wife, you know? And I love you too, Remo.
Thanks.
You're a good kid.
Thanks.
You're a good
Appreciate
kid.
You. Okay. Appreciate
you're a good
you.
Kid. Good kid. All right. Thank you guys for joining us at the CEO Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Ali Awad. We'll see you next time.